Hey, welcome to this week's podcast, recorded live at Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.
But I believe with a great passion that God is calling us to encounter. And that's the word that rings in my spirit. And I looked it up in the dictionary, and the word actually says this: encounter, to come upon or meet with, especially unexpectedly. Or suddenly, the suddenlies of God. And I think that in the context of what I want to share with you this morning, which I do believe is a prophetic declaration over us as a church moving forward through the next 2 or 3 years, that God wants a higher level of the supernatural in our personal lives. I'm not just talking about the corporate, but your individual life. We are actually called to be a supernatural people, living a supernatural life. Why? Because we serve a supernatural Christ. How can we represent Him if we don't live a supernatural life? And so God's calling us into that. And I believe that as we follow our kingdom call, as we get commissioned into our kingdom vocation, and many vocations here this morning, but we get caught up in the momentum of life. Can I just say this to you? I'm not talking about people that have lost the plot. I'm talking about men and women who are in the momentum of following their kingdom call. There are times when in our momentum for God, God still has to gate crash us. And I want to talk, when I talk about encounter, I'm talking about the gate crash of God. That time when God comes from the realm of His spiritual reality, kingdom spirit reality, and He invades our world of the natural, and somehow we know that we know that we know in our knower that we know God Almighty has just turned up, and we have had a life-changing intervention. My friends, we should be a people that live by encounter. And I just want to say this, that if we're a supernatural people, then we're called to live by revelation. We're not called to live by information. One of the things that I loved about Pastor Russell's leadership is he lives by revelation. He gets a word, that's it. It wouldn't matter. There's nothing in hell or above that could stop the outcome of that word once he's heard. And I must be careful of my time, I'm a bit of a storyteller, but I'll never forget the time when the conference was challenged financially, and you said, well, I don't know what the fees were at that stage, but there's something like $120. So what's the logical, what is the reasonable thing to do? The logical, reasonable thing to do is increase it to $220. So he went aside and just said, Father, what do you want us to do? And the revelation of the Holy Spirit said, make it 20. You know, I can just imagine some of the board members at that stage. It must have been a freaky moment. But I'll tell you now that as he acted upon it, guess what God did? Brought the whole thing into a giant advantage. I tell you what, my friends, one moment of revelation is worth 1,000 years of education. And God is calling us to be a people of revelation. And you'll never be a person of revelation if you're not a person of encounter. We need supernatural encounter. I was leaning into the fact that we as a church are called to be a church that brings about the transformation of nations. Many churches have different callings. Well, all of them have different callings, and some are for a suburb, some of them city, some of them nation, but the nations of the earth are crying out. And I believe something of this year, this breakthrough of the Jericho situation, is going to cause such a quantum leap forward that nations that even we are not thinking of currently are going to scream out in their need and their opportunity. And as I was thinking about that, the Lord just said to me, I've called you to be a transformer. And I thought, yeah, I know that, Lord. Yeah, we bring transformation to nations. That's what the call is. No, he said, but you're not listening to me. I've called you to be a transformer. I said, yeah, I got that, Lord. He says, you're not listening to me. And in that moment, I saw something that isn't as common today as it once was. But remember the transformers in suburbs? Yeah, big steel box. You know, and there's power lines that go across the country that carry somewhere between 400 and 700,000 volts. And those big lines come into a transformer. And this box, and this, you've probably seen them in the suburb at some stage if you're old enough. And there's signs on that box. Plug your toaster in here and you'll land on Mars. You know, it's like... the ultimate way to lose weight, nothing but skin and bones, plug in here. It's unbelievable amount of power is able to be deposited into that one transformer, and somehow it has the capacity to take that incredible power and distribute it at 240 volts per family. In other words, it can take all of that power, hold it within itself, and then distribute it to the needs of mankind as appropriate. And Father spoke to me and said, we are called to be transformers. We are called to be those that are depositories of the power of God, the revelation of God. And then as we walk through life and society, we are dispensing the power of God in a way that can meet the needs of mankind. Well, my friends, if you want to be a transformer, you first of all got to get the electricity. You've got to be a transformer. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost isn't flowing, you can't be a transformer. And the only way I know to live in a constant state of the miraculous is by encounter. And without the supernatural encounter, then we're leaning back on our giftedness, and that's never going to do the job. Now, perhaps the key phrase for this morning, the one that gripped me most of all, very personal, is that the place of encounter, and I think we've got the words for the screen on this one, but the place of encounter fundamentally changes who you are, and therefore what you are capable of. Read it again. The place of encounter fundamentally changes who you are, and therefore you are capable of. And I'm going to give you a few illustrations of that. Joshua. Now, when Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, and I'm just going to ad lib it, but it's all in the Bible, be assured of that. Joshua chapter 1, God meets with Joshua in an unmistakable way, incredible way. And he says, listen, I've given you the land. Go in and possess the land. As I was with Moses, now I'm with you. Cross to Jordan, go in, possess the land. Now, my friends, there was nothing vague about that. There was nothing wishy-washy about that. It was incredibly specific, empowering, and you know what? Joshua ran with that commission, possess the land, for the rest of his life. And I know what it is to get a life commission. Remember as a young fella, when it was, you know, the prophetic wasn't allowed to be discussed. You didn't believe you were one. You got criticized if you mentioned the word. But as a young fella, the Lord spoke to me one day. I've called you as a prophet unto the nations. And I didn't hardly know what to do with that. But you know what? It empowered me now for 52 years of ministry. And so a life call will empower you. But my friends, here's my point. No matter how powerful, no matter how clear and unmistakable the life commission of Joshua was, there came a moment when it wasn't enough. And that moment is when he met Jericho. Because Jericho wasn't just another city. Jericho wasn't just another challenge. Jericho was the gateway to the greater promise. Now Joshua at that stage had already obeyed the commission of God. My goodness, he had forged through Jordan. He'd seen miracles. He had started in and already had his feet on the land. And what Planet Shake has accomplished in the last 14 years is beyond description. It is miraculous. And we possessed so much of the land. But my friends, then came Jericho. And Jericho was the impregnable, unassailable city that cried out and said, well, you've taken a little land, you've done a little bit for God, and that's awesome, but you can't take it all. I am here to say you can't go any further. And Jericho defied. Jericho was the spirit of intimidation that said, beyond this point, you will never possess the greater promise. But I'll tell you what, for that moment, the life commission wasn't enough. Joshua had to have a fresh encounter. And in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13 onwards, we have an incredible story of how Jesus, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, actually manifests. Way back there in the Old Testament, he actually manifests as the commander of the Lord of hosts. And as he manifests to him, Joshua realizes who he's talking to. He falls on his knee. He takes the shoes off his feet. He's on holy ground, the Bible says. And he has an encounter with God Almighty in the first person. And he gets up off his knees and he's not the same man. He's gone to an entirely different level. And whereas Jericho would have intimidated him yesterday, now all he feels is anticipation. Because why? Because he's had an encounter. He's had an encounter. My friends, there's times in all of our lives when we will face our Jericho, that gateway moment, which if you don't take it, all the promises, all the prophecies, they're there. But if you don't take Jericho. And friends, I know what it's like to have moments like that. You need a fresh encounter. A new life commission. And I tell you what, my friends, in my heart of hearts, I want to tell you this. I've had moments in my life. We all have challenges. But there's been gateway moments. There's been moments when that were unknown to me. God had positioned me for a new phase, a new era of life and ministry. But always prior to that moment came Jericho. For me, it's often been in the physical. You know, 24 years ago, they wrote me off the planet. All your major arteries and most of your subsidiaries are multiply blocked. Take what's left of your miserably short little life and sit in a corner on a rocking chair. And whatever you do, don't get excited. Well, I haven't stopped getting excited ever since. But it was a Jericho moment. It was a Jericho moment. And so what did I do with these words of death and gloom? I went home. I didn't prepare a pine box. I got down on my knees and I began to cry out and I said, Father, they can do nothing for me, but you're the God that created heaven and earth in 6 days. And I began to have a desperation of spirit. And you know what? God just spoke to me, his almost audible voice, and said, turn to this scripture and Judges. I had no clue what it said, so I just did what I was told. I turned to that scripture, and this is what it said. And the Spirit of the Lord, it's all talking about Samson. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he tore the lion apart. I said, woo. And the Holy Ghost just said, as clear as anything I've ever heard, this thing, talking about the arteries, this thing cannot kill you. And I got off my knees. I'd had an encounter with God. I walked out and said to Margaret, no more. Don't have to worry about a thing. This cannot kill me. Not now, not ever. That's it. And have I been in hospital a few times? Oh, yeah. But that just keeps the story alive. I enjoy this. You know, all these doctors fussing around and worrying like crazy, and they can't imagine why it is that I'm lying in there with a smile on my dial and just enjoying my time with Father. I say, well, what's the problem? I'm lying here in a rest home with my feet up. They're feeding me. I don't have to work. What is wrong with this? Undetided time with my Father. On every occasion, I just walk out having had a fresh encounter with God, and I'm now fitter and more able to tackle life at 72 than I was at 52. But my friends, when did it all change? I didn't read 15 books on higher levels of faith. I got down hungry and thirsty and desperate, and my Father turned up. One supernatural encounter. Think about the disciples. The disciples had 3.5 years with Jesus. They'd seen miracles. They'd been part of it all. My goodness, they were flowing, exciting. Then they had the John 20 when Jesus breathed into them and they were born again. They were ready for anything. But there came a moment when the call, oh, I feel this so strongly, Pastor Russell. There came a moment when the call to the nations were to go to an entirely different level. Instead of it being their neighborhood, it was to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'll tell you something, in that moment when suddenly the enormity of what God was asking of them, my friends, they needed a new encounter. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, in fact, we'll fling that one up on the screen. If I can find it myself. Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power, and the Greek says dynamis, miraculous, supernatural power and force when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. My friends, we're not talking about taking your capabilities to a little bit better. We're talking about a life-changing encounter that fundamentally changes who you are. And therefore what you're capable of. Those disciples were like huddled together in that room, bewildered, befuddled, all the stuff that had just happened, and they hadn't a clue what the future held, and they were wondering, what on earth, what do we do now? And this befuddled group in an upper room suddenly blazed out of the doors, speaking in languages never taught to them in a classroom, performing supernatural acts impossible to mankind, thousands getting saved in a day. What on earth transformed them? One encounter. An encounter that fundamentally changed who they were and therefore what they were capable of. But you know, when Jesus did turn up in the first time in John 20, somebody wasn't there. Thomas was running late for the meeting. Never a good thing to do. You never know what you could miss. And so by the time he gets to the meeting, Jesus has turned up and Jesus has gone. And so he walks in and here's all the apostles and disciples and stuff, and they are beside themselves. Jesus just turned up. Jesus is standing here. Jesus was talking to us. Now, you would have thought if you had journeyed 3 years with these guys that their credibility would be such that you would instantly believe every word that came out of their mouths, and you'd just say, that's amazing. No, no, no. What's Thomas's response? Thomas's response is, what a lot of dribble. Jesus turning up. Maybe you're not aware. He died on the cross, okay? And turned up. What a lot. And then he goes and he's mocking. And he, mind you, you have to understand, he'd been doing that all of his life. All of his life. You read about Thomas. He's always the man of the if, the but, and the ha. No wonder Doubting Thomas, what a great name for him. And so he's in full swing and he says, listen, I will not believe. Now, for me to change my mind, Jesus would have to turn up, stand in front of me, show me the thing, that nails in his hand, show me his feet. And he was just mouthing off. But I'll give you a little hint. Don't mouth off before God unless you mean it. Because suddenly, I love this, suddenly, zinc, there's Jesus. Now, what I love about the story is that he didn't come through the door. It would just beam me down, Scotty. Zinc. Suddenly, Jesus materialized right in front of him. And Thomas says, oh, God Almighty, help me. And he's on his knees, and he says, my Lord and my God. Now, my whole point to this story is this. A man that had been characterized his entire life with unbelief and doubting and questioning and how he ever made it into the band, I'll never know. But he got off his knees and he walked out that door and he became such an apostle of faith and the miraculous and supernatural authority that he blazed the gospel across Asia and India, and tens of thousands were swept into the kingdom and they'd never seen anything like it. My friend, how many years did it take to retrain the brain of that man? It took one encounter. An encounter that fundamentally changed who he was and therefore what he was capable of. You know, Moses, for 40 years of his life, was a Midian shepherd. Now, I don't want you to underestimate this. He wasn't a shepherd for a day. He wasn't a shepherd for a month or a year or a decade. But for four decades, that's longer than many of you have been alive. And I'm telling you what was his day? Oh, friends, listen to me. What was Moses' day? Every day, he'd get up in the morning, he'd come out of his tent flap, and there it was, his calling in life, his only life. It was sheep and dust. Dust and sheep, sheep and dust. Dust, dust, sheep, sheep, dust, sheep, dust, sheep, sheep and dust. The occasional human being, but mostly it was just dust and sheep and dust and sheep. And so the next week he gets out of bed, dust and sheep and dust and sheep, deep dust. And the poor man couldn't even think past the two words, sheep and dust. And then every year, every decade, 40 years, my point, what do you think that does to you? My friends, after 40 years, it becomes who you are. It becomes your new identity. And when that day Moses gets out of bed, he's not thinking about Pharaoh's court. He forgot all about that. There's a blur in the back of his skull. He's had 40 years with dust and sheep. And one day he's walking along and he sees this incredible thing, a bush that appears to have a flame and burning, but it's not consumed in any way. And the Bible says, I love this. I must turn aside to see this wondrous sight. Now, my friends, I do not want you to miss the importance, and I don't know whether it's up there. I haven't a clue where I'm up to. That doesn't matter, does it? Verse 4 of chapter 3 says, and I think this is the pivot of the reason why I'm here this morning. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him. Let me say it again. When. Everybody say the word when. When. Oh, God doesn't talk to me. Really? When God saw that he turned aside, then God spoke. And I want to give you the challenge this morning. Are you willing to turn aside? Because I tell you what, for kingdom-minded, Holy Ghost people like you and me, it's not normally backsliding that is the problem. Because we love God, we love the kingdom, we love the work of God. It's momentum. Without momentum, nothing happens. We must have momentum in our lives. God put it there. But I'll tell you something, God knowing that He has made us a people of momentum, knows that there are times when He must gate crash our worlds. When He knows what's coming up. He knows what's coming up 3 months from now and 6 months from now. And He knows that the life commission that we have honored is not sufficient for the enormity of the Jericho we're about to face. And so He puts this hunger inside of us. He puts this thirst inside of us, and we're compelled. And if we're listening, we will turn aside. We'll allow the gate crash of God into our momentum. And we will turn aside. And it says, when he turned aside, God spoke. And He had a place of encounter. And a dust and sheep shepherd became a Pharaoh confronting leader of a nation in a twinkling of an eye. In a few moments, no re-education program could have ever done that. It was an encounter that fundamentally changed who he was and therefore what he was capable of. My friends, mid-2018, I'd had some challenges, and I looked at 2019 and I realized that this first time ever in my ministry life, I was looking at a year ahead of me that had one invitation on it. I've never been in that position before. But knowing that I was then 70 or 71 or something, whatever it was, I said, well, Lord, I guess this is wind down time. And I've got more than enough to do fathering ministries and talking to the life of other ministries. I have constant opportunity to speak into apostolic leaders and all. I got more than enough on my platter. I guess the platform is now on the wane. And I thought I'd react pretty good to that. But I thought, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. But anyway, I got aside, and here's the point. What did I do? Accept it? Sit back? No, what I knew I had to do was find my Father afresh. And I got aside, and for 3 days I hungered and I thirsted and I cried out to my Father. And one day He turns up and He begins to speak to me, and He says stuff that I was so blown away and bewildered by. He said, you're going to speak into apostolic leaders across this globe in a way you've never done before in your life. And I said, Father, I'm sorry, I know you know everything, but I've got one opportunity in the entire year. But I'm available. And friends, in the last 12 months, I've spoken into more apostolic environments around this globe than I've ever done in my life as far as the level of their significance is concerned. 70 plus apostles representing 26,000 churches. I spoke to them for 3 days. Then a gathering of apostolic leaders in Sydney representing nearly 500 churches, over 500 churches. And I spoke to them on two different occasions. I'm not blowing my horn. I'm saying that looked like Star Wars impossibility mid-2018. What on earth happened? I had an encounter. And friends, I got to work towards the eventual possibility of a probable close. I hope you got that. I want to challenge you, because your place of encounter that will fundamentally change who you are and therefore what you're capable of, your place of encounter awaits you. And I felt God say to me, as clear as a bell, for the corporate to have the breakthrough, the individual must have the encounter. And right now, God is going to raise up an army across this world, nation after nation after nation after nation. And I believe he's holding out that invitation to us together as a church. And he's saying, it's not your past that matters. It is not your upbringing that matters. It's not your education that matters. It's not your failures that matter. What matters is your availability. Will you turn aside and cry out for a supernatural encounter? Because, my friends, that's all it depends upon.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.